This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
Will we get Battle Red Nico? Are the Texans going to shock the world and beat the Lions? We're going to talk about all that and more on this edition of The Bullpen. Hello and welcome to The Bullpen. As always, I'm James Roy, and with me is Tom Chavarria. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm pumped. It is midweek. I've got some good news on the Texans front. You know, I'm sure a lot of you all have as well. And I'm excited for this game. I know people are predicting, feeling some type of way. I'm here to dispel all that. The sky is not falling right now for the Houston Texans.
I've always felt since I started creating Texans content that I'm one of the more optimistic fans, and I think that this recent stretch of football has really tested that, and it's really pushed me to a point where maybe I'm not as optimistic as I think I am, but maybe I'm just impatient. That's what you were saying before the show. I think that's probably what it really is. But there's expectations now. For the first time in over a decade, there's expectations. That's probably why. Let's get into talking about this Texans matchup with the Lions. So I think hopes are pretty low. Speaking of expectations, I think there's a lot of Texans fans outside of myself and a few others that are kind of trying to find the silver lining and create the comeback kid narrative that are like, okay, Jarrett Patterson's back, so what? We might get Nico, that's not enough. Like, that's kind of what I'm seeing a lot of on my timeline. I'm going to lead with this. If Nico Collins plays, because at time of recording, we don't have confirmation that he is going to play, but if Nico Collins plays, is that the difference? Does that just make it more competitive? How do you feel about how that affects this matchup?
Here's what I'm going to say about Nico Collins that I think people need to understand about just the Texans in general. For me, and I didn't know this, and I had to be reminded it, John Harris does the sports talk radio stuff. He's a sideline reporter. He had this great bit of information that I was not aware of. Do you, James Roy, know how many games Nico Collins and Joe Mixon have finished together, started and finished together?
Let me see. So Nico Collins went down 4 weeks ago, which was week 6, and Joe Mixon went down week 2. So started and finished, it was one. Yeah, it was one because Nico went down week 6. So
one game. And in that one game, Nico went off, Joe went off, they scored 29 points, it's never close, probably one of their most complete football games of the season. Now, you fast forward to where we are, and they've had to figure it out. Obviously, we've highlighted the offensive line, we've highlighted some other injuries that are affecting this team. But I mean, you're starting to see some of these guys return, and while there are still issues, I just feel like, Give me the Texans whole and then talk to me.
Yeah, and I've compared the situation with Nico and CJ to what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase had early on, which is that it's kind of like, Nico is CJ's sure thing right now. He's the only receiver in this room that has I don't want to say only receiver that's consistently shown. I mean, to be fair, Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell have performed relative to the workload that there has been to throw around, but the supercharger, the lifeblood of the Texans receiving corps has been Nico Collins. And we've seen this offense become less fun over the season as Nico Collins has played less. There's only so much fun that Nico Collins and Joe Mixon can bring on their own to this offense. But when in the offense at the same time, like you said, that's when we get the best of this Texans offense. That's when we get to have fun watching the team play. And that's been kind of what we've been, I don't want to lump you in there if you don't want to be lumped in there, but I've been attacking the is it fun to watch Texans football narrative. And right now, I think that Nico coming back will at least make the game fun to watch. But I also think, you know, just based off of what Nico has been able to do for CJ, to put it in perspective, up until last week, Nico was a top 10 wide receiver in receiving yards and hasn't played in 4 weeks. So, I mean, he was pacing 2,000 yards before he went down injured. He'll probably still break 1,000 by a sizable margin as long as he can stay healthy the rest of the season. And so I think it's huge. And another thing I'll address is that there's some people that are like, well, why would we bring Nico back and rush him back this week again in a matchup where we're outgunned and it doesn't really matter because we're probably going to lose anyways. And to that I say, Nico brings that much to the table that having him back for this matchup changes that. It does. It's no longer the Texans, let's hope it's not too bad. It becomes, this should be at least a little bit close. Like, at the very least, that's like, if I'm the average run-of-the-mill Texans fan, I would expect that Nico Collins being back should like set alarms off in your head. Like, oh, this game should be at least worth watching. That's like, or I'm not there. I think that this makes it like close matchup guaranteed if Nico's back, but that's the very least that I think you get with Nico Collins back. Now, speaking to the contrary, Nico Collins, let's assume maybe we don't get Battle Red Nico. Battle Red Nico, who has had 7 receptions in each of his matchups, broken 100 receiving yards, and had at least a touchdown every single time he's worn Battle Red, every time he wore it in 2023, because I sometimes forget that Nico Collins played for the Texans before 2023 due to certain other factors that were going on around him. But let's assume we don't get Battle Red Nico. I haven't done the research, but I'm almost certain that Battle Red Tank Dell is just as good as a Texan. But Tank Dell showed something last week in being the one option. He had over 100 receiving yards, and he was kind of what the only positive the Texans had in the receiving core, basically. What do you make of this matchup if it is truly just Tank Dell and a bunch of other receivers that we as Texans fans have been asking to be good for several weeks now?
I don't know that I want to be the guy that sits here and goes, you know, oh, well, Tank Dell can do it now because we've seen him do it. I think Tank Dell has always been able to do it. I think that when you have other issues that are preventing CJ to be able to pick his targets and kind of read, you know, scan the field like we'd like him to and get through progressions, you know, in a comfortable setting, those things are what matters to me more. I think that this, you know, the potential Nico stuff really keeps defenses honest. You know, when you can't load up a box, you can't rush everybody because he's a guy that can make a play in the middle of the field and run away from you. Tank can do that too. We saw that last week. I do believe that there is as you add these weapons in, you're able to then, you know, give CJ time for fear of getting burnt on a big play or a game-breaking play. So to me, it allows the Texans to be more balanced and really just have an ability to give CJ the time he needs to be the guy that we think he is. I'm really just excited about this game because for me, take the Battle Red and all that other, for me, the Texans, for what I've seen them as a D'Amico Ryans football team, they play up to the level and they play down to the level. Now, if people don't see that, and it's probably because they're, you know, in their feelings a little bit. But when you watch the Texans play, they absolutely get up to play teams that are perceived to be the bar, the measuring stick. I think this defense, provided that, you know, it's healthy, I think it's starting to get there. The linebacking core is starting to get there. We're talking about some of the other guys that I'm sure you'll mention here in a little bit. This defense is Super Bowl caliber, in my opinion. So as fantastic as Detroit is, and they are, you know, this is probably the best defense they're going to see to this point. And when you put that into perspective in your building in a primetime setting, I can't wait. I think you're going to get a motivated team. Do you know that the Texans have only ever lost under D'Amico Ryans back-to-back once? And that was like week 2. So he coaches these guys up after a loss. He uses those as teaching moments, and they really go in with their hair on fire, and they just play better. So for everybody that just sees the runaway train that is the Detroit Lions and just think that they can't be played with, they're not undefeated. You know what I mean? And the irony of that is the undefeated team has looked more vulnerable than the Lions. So the Any Given Sunday thing really is a deal. I really feel like the Texans have the tools they need to go in and get a win against the Detroit team. And I look forward to talking about, even if that doesn't happen, how I'm still jazzed about this team based on where they're situated right now.
Yeah, I mean, sitting at 6-4 after this matchup would not be the worst place this team could have been based off their schedule so far, considering the things that happened. But to answer the question posed about this receiving core without Nico, one, it's hard to do that without talking about, you know, 2023. This team was asked to perform without Nico and came through. Tank Dell has been that guy in the past, but the thing that's changed, I think too often as Texans fans, we look internally, and I think that's good, right? I think that in general, most people should, the first place you should look when something is wrong is internally. But I'm going to flip the script and give a little look here, right? The Texans have faced a lot more pressure in terms of blitz rate. Last year, teams weren't really going after the Texans the same way that they are now. So the Texans have faced a higher blitz rate, and they faced just a problem with the offensive line, where the offensive line is not being able to cover, which is more of an inward look. But looking at the other teams and the blitz rate, this is the lowest blitz rate team in the entire league. The Lions, simply put, just don't really send a lot of help when pressuring the quarterback. And I probably chalk a lot of that up to Aiden Hutchinson. They did trade for that one defensive end from the Browns. So that this is going to be the first game that we get a look at that, because that was right at the trade deadline. But looking at it, that's something that gives me hope in this matchup too, is the fact that this Detroit defense probably isn't going to be putting as much effort into blitzing and applying pressure in that way, which has been something that has really kind of thrown a wrench in this Texans offense. So even without Nico, I would suspect that we might see a better performance from our receivers, just because CJ will likely not get beat up early on and then have his internal clock thrown off so much that a clean pocket is not something he can throw from. So, yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good about this team going into the game, better than I thought I would without Nico, but I definitely think Nico is the game changer. Don't get it twisted. Nico, I would say, needs to play for this team to have a legitimate chance at beating the Lions. And I'd love to be wrong on that. I would love if Nico, you know, didn't play in the Texans, still won. That would be great. But that's just kind of where I'm at on that. Now, I brought up the trade deadline briefly, and it's kind of hard to get through a discussion about the Texans offense without talking about that. And we'll talk about it on the defensive side too. But one last question on offense before we kind of flip the script, if you will. But this Texans team didn't really address the offensive line in the trade market, which is kind of to be expected. I mean, it was a long shot to expect a team to want to trade any part of their interior O-line that's worth having at the trade deadline. Not a lot of leverage. You can't really get your best return, and interior offensive linemen that perform at that high level are not, you know, they're not a dime a dozen. They're hard to come by. So the Texans addressed it by signing some practice squad guards and a tackle that they claimed off waivers from the Patriots. With what they've added and with what's going away with Kenyon Green being out for the season and with Jarrett Patterson coming back, how do you feel about this Texans offensive line? What do you kind of expect to see from them in what could be a pretty tough matchup even without the blitz rate?
First, to speak to the trade deadline, I know people wanted every trade to be made. The Texans saw other teams make moves, and they were like, well, I want my team to make moves. And to that, I say, well, they made a ton of moves in the offseason so that they didn't have to make moves at the trade deadline. You know, where other teams stood pat, they went out and they got an edge rusher. They went out and they got a wide receiver. They went out and they got a defensive tackle. They went and got, you know, they added a linebacker. They added pieces. Now, the offensive line wasn't touched, but I think when you expend that kind of capital, you kind of have to, you know, reset. And I feel like that's what Nick Caserio did here. He sent a guy out rather than bring a guy in via trade to get some draft capital back. I think this is, with this team, their offensive line, the three guys, the three main pieces of that offensive line, they're I guess key guys, you know, like they're well paid. Well, I'm talking about the two tackles and Shaq Mason. So we're really only talking about trying to address, because you're not addressing those positions, in my opinion.
As so bad as really, Mason's been, yeah, I agree with you. It's the, Mason is not one you touch.
So we're really only talking about center and left guard. Jared Patterson is a guy that, you know, doesn't give up sacks. And a lot of people really like Jared Patterson. The one game he came in, he was really good. The problem with Jared Patterson is he can't stay healthy. So the best ability is availability. And so far, that's where we are with him. I know the last injury was a little bit of a freak thing. The interesting question is does he start at guard? Does he start at center? Juice Scruggs has not been great. It's going to be interesting. I thought a really interesting thing that came out of the Pat McAfee show with an interview with the quarterback for the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, was that they've been running out four tackles because they've got injury issues. So, you know, while the Texans have not really pushed Fisher into guard duty, they just haven't really done that. Other teams are doing that. Maybe that's a way to address it. Kendrick Green, he got beat up last game. They gave up a ton of sacks last game. Just really going to have to see how they address it with the Lions. I think this is a good spot for them to get right once they get through the Lions, because the next three teams they're going to face are not the scariest three teams on the schedule. And that's where I think I'm looking forward to. The Lions game presents a lot of challenges, both offensively and defensively. If the offensive line does their job, the Texans are going to be right there at the end of the game, I promise. And if the offensive line struggles, well, then maybe there's a crooked number hung on the Texans. I'm really interested to see how they perform coming off this loss. You know, D'Amico's going to be fired up. Two defensive head coaches in Dan Campbell and D'Amico Ryans. I think there's going to be a chess game there. And I truly believe you're probably going to get a better version of the Texans offense this week than you have in the last two or three weeks.
Yeah. And to speak to that, like, it's amazing the position the Texans are in, because even with a loss this week, they could be a 9-win team going into the bye week and coming into what's probably the toughest stretch of the season. But like you said, if they won, they're a 7-win team. And over the next 3 weeks, they could probably become a 10-win team and enter the bye week at 10-3, which would be insane relative to what was expected of the Texans at this point. Even with the increased expectations, that would just be a really, really overperforming in a lot of ways, I feel like. But to speak to the offensive line, I mean, I have to speak to relativism, which is that a lot of people are like, well, you know, it doesn't, you know, get a lot better. You know, Kendrick Green didn't do very well either. And to that, I say this. And I only reference the PFF scores as a metric for how much better. Like I've always said, and I feel like I always have to say this, because if I don't, someone's going to hear it and they're going to hold it against me. But PFF scores only confirm what was seen on the field. They're not meant to be used solely as for, you know, the purposes of comparing things. But in this case, Kenyon Green put up an 8 on PFF to the point that he played in the game. And the other guards combined, all three guards that played, the other two had above 30. If I'm getting 30-plus point differential in performance based off PFF, that's a lot. That is a huge boost in performance. So it's not good. I'm not saying that Kendrick Green, Juice Scruggs, or Shaq Mason had a great day by any stretch, but the Texans trotted a guy who literally rated below 10 on a scale of 1 to 100. And then that guy got injured and they boosted their rating from 8 to like 34, almost 30 points. So it is a massive improvement relatively. And that's what you're going to get from that. We're going to speak to that probably a lot moving forward, because the Texans couldn't go. They made their moves in the offseason, like Tom said. They can't go out and do it now. The trade deadline's passed. So they have what's on the roster, what's available in free agency. And it'll probably, like, I think moving forward, Jarrett Patterson getting on the field will be a huge relative, better, bigger relative improvement than we got from the other guys. But even if it's not Jarrett Patterson, or if, you know, like we said, he's had a little trouble with health, whatever we trot out will be relatively 10 times better than Kenyon Green, at least. So keep that in mind. I think that looking at this offensive line, having one part, like, and I said this before the trade deadline, we can't move everyone and change everyone. Having that massive improvement at left guard, I think will show in a better or in more ways than people think it will. So that's what I'll say to that.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But these days, it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. It's crafted with timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, which means this hoodie can withstand any outing or adventure. It'll be your new favorite hoodie, and you can depend on it for years to come. Plus, buying from American Giant means supporting local communities of farmers, manufacturers, and more. This season, snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, the other part of the trade deadline is the Texans did make a trade. It was probably not the one a lot of people wanted. Let's speak to it. Khalil Davis gets traded for a 7th-round pick. The Texans really like sending defensive tackles to the 49ers for late draft picks. And it was a 2026 pick, too. That's important to say. Not a 2025 pick. It was a deep future 7th-round pick. What are your thoughts on the move? I'll just leave it at that. What are your thoughts on that move?
I wasn't as enamored or in love with Khalil Davis like some people were. I mean, when you talk about like a 2026 7th-round pick, that's literally a bag of footballs, in my opinion. Like there's not a lot of value in it. Obviously, if they go out and they turn into somebody, fantastic. At no point in time is that a sure thing. It's more like a lottery ticket. And I think they were just trying to clear roster space because obviously they went out and they picked some guys up and Khalil Davis, you know, wasn't going to see the field based on what they already had. So to me, the trade is much to do about nothing. And real quick before you get any further, as far as the offensive line goes, as much as you want to lump on Kenyon Green and he's bad, they were all bad together. And
I agree with you on that. That's why I'm saying relatively – Kenyon Green was that much worse, and so the improvement over him is going to be huge. I think that if you could add – if you change out any of the guys on the interior and get any improvement, you would get significant improvement because none of them have been good. That is, I agree with you 100% on that point.
But to say that you're getting a massive upgrade by going to Kenyon Green is wrong because from 8 to 30, you still gave up 6 sacks after Kenyon Green went out of the game. So Kenyon Green gave up 2 in a quarter, and the rest of them gave up 6 in 3 quarters. It's the same bad.
We're averaging all 2 sacks a quarter. I mean, nothing changed on that front, I guess.
But that's what I mean. You can't say it's a massive improvement. The 3 guys that are getting paid all the money have to play better. If you think that Kenyon Green was the only problem with the offensive line, you're not watching this team.
I think he's not the only problem, but also one thing to say is that you said Kenyon gave up 2 sacks and then the other 3 gave up 6 sacks over the course of the rest of the game. So
it's the same. Your net is 0. It didn't get better. So I get what a lot of people want to do. They want to find a smoking gun. They want to find the one fix all cure all and they think it's Kenyon Green. And don't get me wrong, kid's bad. I'm starting to second guess every player that ever comes out of Texas A&M because of Kenyon Green. Maybe because I'm a Longhorn fan too, but because of Kenyon Green. So, but if you're not looking at Juice Scruggs, if you're not looking at Shaq Mason, if you're not looking at Titus Howard, and you're not looking at that insanely paid left tackle who gets to make all the infractions he wants, You're not doing yourself service.
I'll rephrase to say this, right? Replacing any of them with Jarrett Patterson here, we'll do that. Replacing any of them with Jarrett Patterson would be a massive improvement.
I'm with it.
There it is. I'll say that. I still think that if we're picking one of the three to replace to get a significant improvement relatively, it's probably Kenyon Green. That's not – they were all bad, right? They were all bad. And I see your point on the sacks. And, yeah, I want to move on because I'm sick of talking about how bad this offensive line is. I want to see them do something this weekend. Anyway, we have some brief discussion points on the defense, and then we'll give our score predictions. Azeez Al-Shaair, Jimmy Ward are back. A lot of the defensive line is on the injury report. We're expecting Jerry Hughes to come back and Jeff Okuda, who are both full participants in practice, I believe. What are your thoughts on availability? Who's there? You've already said Super Bowl caliber defense, and Christian Harris doesn't come back until week 15, which has been officially reported. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about this defense relative to like Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown? There's a lot of matchups going on here that will be tough, and this defense will be tested against this offense.
Absolutely. I really feel like they're up to the challenge. I think you've seen these guys do really well with some great quarterbacks, some great wide receivers. I'm really excited about what I've seen from this defense, and I don't think it's a finished product. And that's also the exciting thing for me. When you look at, you know, Danico Autry finally starting to show in the last game, and you look at what that defensive line looks like when it's whole, I'm really concerned about Will Anderson. I really need to know that he's going to be a full go, because those guys right there get after the quarterback in a hurry. And that makes everybody, Foley Fatakasi, Mario Edwards, who will get back at some point, it makes all those guys that much better. And then when you have that, now you're seeing these corners and safeties have opportunities to go make plays as well. The linebacking core, which, like we've said in the last few shows, we thought was going to be an area of concern, really looks like a strength. I'm not even concerned about Christian Harris and when he comes back because of how well some of these guys have played. Devin White, I think, who they brought off the street, looks phenomenal, that I don't think enough people are talking about. So they're starting to find their stride. And I really think that if D'Amico has it his way, he would like the defense to be the stamp of approval for his team. And the offense, when it finds its legs, but he wants to put a low number on the board. And so far, little by little, we're starting to see it. And I can't wait for this team to start clicking and people go, wow, how did the Texans get like that? And we'll be able to say, we've been watching them all season, and it was just a piece here, a piece there, a move there, you know, some reps here. And now at the end of the season, we're talking about a team that nobody wants to play.
Yeah, 100%. I think you captured it really well. And the one thing that I'll say, really kind of pointing it at the Lions and what I think the Texans need to do, I think it's really important. The focal point is going to be Will Anderson being there and the pass rush being significantly healthy. Him and Foley Fatakasi, mainly because I think the way that you got to help Stingley out. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a really good receiver. And even if he's not shadowing him, if it's Lassiter you have to help out, Okuda, whoever you're helping out, this Lions receiving core, even I think Jameson Williams came back this week, is going to be tough to cover. So this pass rush really, like we've been saying all season, needs to be there. And they need to be there consistently. I need Jared Goff to be in hell for, you know, four quarters of football, because this pass rush is getting home where it needs to go. And that brings up Devin White too, who's been really good coming off the edge on blitzes and getting in there and forcing that pressure on quarterbacks. So I think that's going to be the key. On top of this run defense is going to really be tested by Jahmyr Gibbs. I know that I can't remember the name of the other running back around. I think it's not
Mandatory Montgomery.
Yeah, David Montgomery. There we go. I almost said David Johnson, and I stopped myself because I didn't want to get it. And I just did it anyways. Congratulations, you now have PTSD. But I didn't want to give PTSD to all the Texans fans listening. But anyways, I think that's going to be a tough test for this defense too. Is going to be, can they really stop the run? Because Jahmyr Gibbs has a set of wheels on him, and you know, David Montgomery puts up his numbers too. It's a two-headed monster that's really hard to beat. But on that note, let's talk score predictions. Let's see what you got. I told you early in the week, I'm pretty sure I'm going to move towards predicting losses until the Texans move. Otherwise, I'm still not sure on that yet, but we'll see. I want to hear what your score prediction is. It's really going to shape what I'm going to say.
So I don't know why you and some of the other fans feel the way they do. This team has been really good, all things considered. We talk about the guys that they're missing, the guys that they got. I'm going to assume that Nico Collins plays. I think that matters because 100%. The offense is totally different when you have Nico Collins out there. There's another guy that they have to pull away from the line. You really have to respect what Nico can do. And then you saw Tank Dell last week. So, you know, they're circling him on their chalkboard going, okay, this is a guy that we can't let beat us either.
He's back.
So for me, I really feel like the fact that they don't blitz a lot means that the offense is going to be able to score. Detroit's really good, man. But I just – part of me wanted to give you this like 31-27 score that I've had in my brain. I feel like it's going to be a close game. I really do think it's going to be competitive. And I think you're going to get a Texan team that'll have a lead at some point. And people are going to be like, oh, my God, well, they were beating the Lions. And, you know, that'll be the talking point. I am going to be very unbiased, or I'm going to try to be unbiased, and say that the Lions will win. I don't think it's not that I don't have faith in this team. It's not that I want people to go, oh, you know. They thought what we thought. No, I don't believe they're unwatchable. No, I don't believe they're untalented. I think every team has struggles throughout the season, and how they manage it and how they get through games determines what kind of team they are at the end of the year. This one's going to be a really good game. I really think it's going to be back and forth. I think we're going to get a 28-24 Lions win. It's going to take everything. The Lions are going to have to withstand some Texans runs late. They're going to have to put up some points. I think they do just enough. And both teams come out of this with a healthy respect for what each team can do. And they talk about it as, you know, like a potential Super Bowl preview.
All right. I like that. I'm going to take a page out of the Tom playbook from the Green Bay game. But before I say it, important to note that this will be the first time all season, week 10, that both Tom and I have not taken the Texans to win. I have taken the Texans to win every week prior to this, and Tom has only taken them to lose against the Packers, which he was right about. It's another NFC North matchup. I'm going to go 24-21. I'm going to go in favor of the Lions, and that's because I think it's whoever has the ball last. And I think that it'll probably shake out to where the line. I probably go similar to the Packers game, I think. And once again, to reiterate, I'm going to assume the same as Tom that Nico plays, and that's what makes it a close game. If Nico didn't play, my score prediction would probably be a little bit different. But with that, I guess I don't really have a storybook ending, maybe a silver lining. That's what we'll do here. It's so rare that I don't take the Texans to win that I didn't really have like a segment or a bit for what it is when my score prediction isn't them winning. But we'll go with the silver lining. The silver lining here is going to be that not only does Nico come back, but Nico lights it up and Tank Dell. That's what will come away from this game. Both Nico and Tank will light it up because CJ will have the protection because Jarrett Patterson is back and his play at left guard will be a difference maker. I'm not going to say CJ is not going to face pressure because like Tom and I both agree on, Juice Scruggs and Shaq Mason, not great. And CJ will have to navigate that. But Jarrett Patterson's presence will significantly boost this offensive line, leading to great games from both Tank and Nico. CJ goes for 300. That's my silver lining in a loss to the Packers or to the Lions. Sorry, I get mixed up. But yeah, on that note, Tom, do you have anything else to say before we kind of bring this thing to a close?
For all the people that will be very, very down in the dumps if this team does lose to Detroit, I would like to point something out because I think it's very important. And I think in a season in which, you know, expectations are high and everybody thinks Super Bowl, and you should, and you still can, you know, but a team that will be 6-4 if the Lions come in and get a win, you know, will be like, oh, I'm out. See me next season, whatever. They didn't make any moves at the trade deadline, I'm out. Because there will be people like that. The Texans at the same point in time last year were 6-4. They made a run to the playoffs, you know, won 10 games. You know, everybody knows the history. If the Texans lose, you know, they'll be 6-4. But their next three games are against a Dallas Cowboy team that will most likely be without Dak Prescott and basically just checked out. A lot of the players don't want to play. You've seen Dak, you know, they got a camera shot. We effing suck. You know, they're just checked out. And then you get a Titans team and a Jags team. And the Titans and the Jags both have to play. I think they both have to play the Lions. And I think they also have to play the Bills coming up. So there's a very real scenario. The Texans go 3-1 over the next four games. They will have clinched the division by the bye week.
That's insane.
And the gauntlet that we talk about at the end of the season, play it if you want to. The division will be done.
At that point, you're playing with something to prove instead of for the sake of making the playoffs. I think it changes the pressure, right? Because it's more about, I don't want to say vanity. That's probably not the right word. But like, as a team who has been pitched as a Super Bowl contender, the two of those teams are teams that you're going to have to beat to make the Super Bowl. And so how you perform in those games will shape how people view you as a Super Bowl contender, just as much as this one, which is a game that if Nico plays is going to be one that has it in people's minds how a Super Bowl matchup could look like if the Texans can show up. And so I agree with you on that point. It's wild to think about it, but this Texans team could very well enter the bye week with certainly making our record prediction, which was, you know, 10 to 11 wins, and possibly more. I mean, they're still very much in play for a 2 or 3 seed. I think right now they're sitting at the 4 seed because the Steelers have been playing above where, you know, you would expect them to. And yeah, I mean, just generally speaking, one loss against the Jets had a huge impact on that. But I do have faith in this Texans team. I've put the Super Bowl discussions on pause for a second. This matchup's going to heavily affect how I view that. I think this team could still enter the bye week at 9 wins, and I'd still be maybe a little cautious. And one thing that I'll note before we bring it to a close is that if the Texans win against the Titans and Jaguars, they'll have 5 wins against the division and 4 wins outside of the division. And then if they struggle the rest of the season and maybe only beat the Titans to get to 10 wins, 6 of their 10 wins would be divisional wins, which is not a strong Rolodex of wins to have, in my opinion. But maybe that's just me. I'd love to see them turn it on in the playoffs like the Giants did when they went and beat the undefeated Patriots. You know, that's what matters, is being able to turn it on when the lights shine bright. So, I mean, pretty wins, ugly wins. I've always been one to believe that it matters all that matters is the final score in the big games. I just also like to analyze how likely it is the final score of those big games is going to go well based off of how you performed throughout the season. So I know that I don't come across as someone who is a win is a win, but I do see it that way. At the end of the day, I'm analytical. So I guess that's all. I'll get off my soapbox and stop talking about it. This has been The Bullpen. I have been James Roy, and you can find me at James Roy NFL on Twitter and at M1 Texans Fan on Instagram. Tom is at Third Coast Tom on Twitter and at TCTom1 on Instagram. You can find The Bullpen at The Bullpen Cast on Instagram. You can do it on Twitter too, but not a lot going on that page. And yeah, thanks for tuning in. One last plug for my subscriber giveaway on Instagram. We're giving away a Texans, the secondary H logo hat. It's a snapback. I found it online. It looks pretty sick with the H-Town blue brim and the H-Town blue H. I think it looks pretty cool. All you got to do is sign up for my subscription on Instagram, 99 cents a month. Enter to win Texans gear giveaways every month. And with that, yeah, thanks again for tuning in. As always, stay classy, Houston, and vamos Texans. Thanks for tuning in to The Bullpen, a Texans podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from the bullpen.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.